This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to Game Night with Matt Perrault.
All right, so as we wait for a member of the victorious Pittsburgh Steelers, who may or may not be joining us here before we get out of here top of the hour, we will talk some Seahawks football. They win last night in very impressive fashion over the Eagles at home, rocking CenturyLink Field. Kenneth Arthur, field goals, covering the Seahawks for SB Nation, joining us here on the program. Kenneth, Matt Perrault, good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a bit about this year, because a lot of people were writing off Seattle after the injuries to Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor. Yet last night, they looked like a playoff team and a team that in the playoffs could be very, very dangerous. How do you feel about this version without their two big or one of their two of their big stars on defense now going forward?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, in order to quantify the effect of not having Richard Sherman, it's really just we're testing out the waters for the first time. And so the first test going up against Carson Wentz and the number one scoring offense in the NFL, you know, it was a passing grade, you know, especially compared to losing Earl Thomas last year when the Seahawks were their usual dominant secondary selves. And then when and Earl Thomas broke his leg and went out, it wasn't there. They were a bottom 10 pass defense. This time we have more hope because we have a good amount of evidence in one game that if the Seahawks can continue to add pressure against the quarterback, because this is the most that Carson Wentz has been pressured all year by a huge margin, if the Seahawks can continue to do that and get that type of pressure with Michael Bennett, Sheldon Richardson, Jaron Reed, Frank Clark, and you know, especially if Frank Clark can be as dominant of a defensive end as a pass rusher as he was last night, join the ranks of you know some of the best pass rushers in the NFL, then you're losing Richard Sherman. But at the same time, you're finding out that you are kind of adding maybe a great pass rusher, maybe adding some of these components in. Like the way that Justin Coleman played in the slot last night was amazing, incredible. He's their slot corner, and, you know, I think maybe they're figuring some things out. And then at the same time, we saw Byron Maxwell on that touchdown drive by the Eagles get burned and sort of remind us all why the Eagles got rid of him and then the Dolphins got rid of him. Which is that he is, I think, a very good tackler and a very good player in general, but he's no Richard Sherman.
Right. Kenneth, the play of the game was the lateral by, and look, he's an amazing runner, amazing thrower, but he's a magician with the football in his hands. And what Russell Wilson did on that pitch, was that a lateral in your mind? Was that a forward pass? I thought it was backwards. I thought it was a lateral, but the broadcasting crew on NBC had their doubts.
I don't know. You know, and that's not like, you know, I'm not trying to be bipartisan. I'm not trying to deflect. I haven't really, I've seen a lot of different, like, theories. Kind of looked like the ball was going forward to me. You know, you also had the optical illusion on the Music City Miracle that Tennessee had, which was a backward pass, but it sure looked forward in the moment. Basically, the play, if it's the play of the game, it's because Doug Peterson didn't challenge the refs to take another look. So, and I think that also goes back. It's funny because I think the Eagles on Sunday night made a lot of the mistakes that sort of caused Seattle to slip to four losses at this point, you know, which is, penalties that sustained drives for Seattle, bad challenge by Doug Peterson earlier in the game, and that the fact that he had already wasted a challenge on a play that he should have never used that challenge on, even if he was right. It was fourth and inches. They picked it up. They were going to pick it up anyway. And I think maybe the fact that he was down to his last challenge and maybe the fact that he knew he only had two timeouts left because he lost the timeout put a second thought in his head of challenging that play. But in general, forward pass, lateral, yeah, it gave the Seahawks the first down. But at that point, even if the Seahawks are forced to punt, the Eagles still had to do work that they hadn't been doing all night long. So they had their opportunities, and the Seahawks came away winners by 14 points.
What do you make of this week's game, Kenneth? Because it looks like a trap game. It's across the country. The Rams are going to Seattle on December the 17th. On the 17th, you've got the start time that's been bumped up from 10 o'clock Pacific time now to 1:25 Pacific time, which I think helps. But the Jaguars are a good team on the road trying to keep pace in their own division. How much of a worry is it for this game where the Seahawks are underdogs already here in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Well, just that fact means that, I mean, it can't possibly be a trap game, right? Like, everyone, apparently the side is on the favor of the Jaguars. You know, the fact that they're at home for 3 points means that maybe this is a coin toss and Jacksonville right. has the home field advantage. That's where they get the 3 points. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how anybody – I mean, I guess the separation between the Jaguars and the Rams is quarterback play. But other than that, like, I don't think Jared Goff is yet a great quarterback. And I think that the Jaguars, you know, they have a case to be made that they're a better team than the Rams right now. And so I think that's where you've got to, you know, focus your attention if you're the Seahawks, obviously, is how are we going to be successful against Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Boye, the number mm-hmm. one cornerback tandem in the NFL? How are we going to stop Malik Jackson and Dante Fowler and Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue? Like, there are so many concerns with the Jacksonville defense that I think that there's no way that the Seahawks could be looking ahead to the Rams. They've got to figure out how they're going to go across the country and beat a Jaguars team that is absolutely going to make the playoffs. That is, in my opinion, the biggest threat to the Steelers and Patriots as far as winning the AFC because of their great defense, the number one pass defense, the number one scoring defense, the number one total defense, everything. I love the Jaguars. And I think that even Blake Bortles, you know, is playing a little bit better because of the fact that, you know, it's a better team. And so I think they got to focus on that. And then if they can get out of Jacksonville with a win, oh, man, it's going to take, you know, a lot of pressure off at that point because then they know they're playing for the NFC West first place the next week. If they lose, okay, then they still have to come back and maybe the Rams lost to the Eagles. There's a lot of things, you know, moving and shifting around, but, oh, man, I wouldn't look over, you know, Leonard Fournette and this defense because the Jaguars are super legit.
Mm. In terms of where you're concerned with this Seahawks team, they're 8-4 now. They're still in second place in the NFC West. As these next four games unfold, where are you the most concerned? Where are the Seahawks lacking the most? And is it the offense or is it the defense that could be the weak link here that costs the Seahawks a deep run in the playoffs?
Oh, that's a, you know, that's a good question because right now they're, you know, the units are almost even in ways, you know, each one has their pros and cons and maybe it for the first time under Pete Carroll, you know, at least as far as the Seahawks being competitive, the offense may have overtaken the defense. And, you know, with that being said, the addition of Duane Brown, we've seen the Seahawks go from, you know, a bottom five pass blocking unit to a top 10 pass blocking unit, getting Luke Jokel back after he had knee surgery. The fact that Justin Britt, you know, the way he's played this year, he should get all pro consideration, first or second team. You know, he's only allowed one sack, seven total QB hurries and it's, or seven total QB pressures. So it's really, you know, that unit on the offensive line is a lot better right now than they were a month ago. And so because of that, a lot better than a lot of people maybe realize they should be getting credit for. Russell Wilson's MVP candidacy is, you know, legitimate. And I think, you know, the fact that he has more than double the rushing yards of any running back or any other player on the team. Offensively, with Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin and Paul Richardson, I think they're okay. I think they're fairly set, you know, and it's just a matter of what defenses that they would face in a playoff situation. You know, and they'll get tuned up these next 2 weeks against Jacksonville and L.A., as you say, and they'll tune up against, we'll see sort of where their defense or their offense lies against some of these playoff caliber defenses, and then they get to sort of wind it down with Dallas and Arizona. But, you know, as far as defense, I think that's got to be where they're a little bit more vulnerable. They're figuring themselves out in a post-Richard Sherman, post-Cam Chancellor world. You know, but they've got, again, a defensive player of the year candidate in Bobby Wagner. Earl Thomas is an all-world future Hall of Famer, and, you know, he's still under 30 years old. Lots of good things to like about the defense, but I would just say that because it's really going to come down to defense for, I think, all playoff teams, it's just still, to me, defense is the way to begin when you talk about who's going to be winning so in the playoffs. So it's really about that pass defense. Can Byron Maxwell, you know, when he's going up against the passing offense of the Rams, when they're going up against Drew Brees and the Saints, when they have a rematch, you know, against Carson Wentz and the Eagles, when they face teams like that that have a passing attack, you know, how many times are they going to win in the secondary? How many times are they going to win those pass rushing battles against opposing offensive lines? Very good offensive lines, I think, on all of those teams. So that's what it's going to come down to more, I think, is holding up as a defense. Because I think actually the offense, outside of the fact that they can't run from here,
well, that's
to
right,
the other
right.
side of
and that's
the room.
That's where I was looking for, because how – so you're not concerned about this team that has – if you take away Russell Wilson's rushing yards against the Eagles, I mean, they ran for 70 yards against Philly. Can they win a playoff game on the road without a running game?
I mean, in the year 2017, which teams are relying on their great rushing attacks? I mean, it's the same –
the Rams?
You know they're a great rushing team. I think the Eagles are a fine rushing team. I think the Rams, you know, are a fine rushing team. But I also think that, and, you know, in the case of Todd Gurley, he's got what, 5 fumbles. There's just some, you know, they've had a good success against Todd Gurley. So it's like, I don't know who the Patriots running backs are. I don't know. I don't know who, you know, like some of these other teams. It doesn't really mean a lot to me these days, because if you can put up 25, 30 points, whether you're passing it or running it, I think they will want to run the ball, of course. You know, Pete Carroll wants to run the ball, as that's what he's always established. They just can't, and they're not going to fix it this year. So is that a concern? Yeah, there's a situation where if they get up 10 points in the fourth quarter, they don't have Marshawn Lynch to turn to anymore. That could become a problem. But the fact that Russell Wilson's rushing yards and scrambling yards do count, and that he is picking up first downs, and then maybe he's such a magician that he can make a forward pass look like a lateral, I'll take that.
Kenneth, good stuff tonight. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
That is Kenneth Arthur, Field Goals, covering the Seahawks, SB Nation site covering the Seahawks. And look, I'll just say this. He says the Pats have 4 running backs, all right? 3 that play big snaps. Deion Lewis, 15 carries, 92 yards. Rex Burkhead, 12 carries, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. All right. So you can say James White had 5 carries for 18 yards, but his role kind of comes and goes. You know, the Saints, I mean, Kamara is going to be the offensive rookie of the year. You've got 2 backs in Ingram. I mean, there are teams in the NFL that are running the football. You really can't be one-dimensional in the playoffs. I know it's 2017. We'll talk about this more on the other side. But Minnesota, I mean, come on now. Let's look at this. The Seahawks are lacking a very big component. And yes, Wilson can do magic with his legs. But in the playoffs, ooh, more to come.